Happy Monday, Bucks fans. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast. Yes, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes writing on the website. But I appreciate all your support here on the podcast, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. That's where you can subscribe right online to get a free alert, or in your phone, of course, obviously, or listen on the website. The numbers have been great. I appreciate it. And tell a friend, continue to listen, leave a review, whatever. I'm all good with positive, negative. I just appreciate that you support us and our great sponsors of the podcast, Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com, and Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Del Mabry, billcurryford.com. I got to share with you right away two things, because we're all Bucks fans here, right? That's the only reason you would listen to this podcast, unless you're a member of a visiting team looking for some sort of nugget that maybe I deliver that doesn't get somewhere else. And you know what? Teams do listen to local media or the team they're going to play to try to get some sort of angle, some sort of nugget, especially during ex-players shows. You know, they never know when an ex-player is going to say, well, actually, I was having lunch with so-and-so. We share the same agent. And I know his ankle's not what they say it is, even though he's not on the injury report. Believe me, teams look for that stuff all the time. But I know everybody listening here is a Bucks fan for sure. And I wanted to say two things. One, I think the energy is good at One Buck. I really do. I think that unlike us fans, many who trend negative, I think the players had a wonderful timing for the bye week and week five, because they got to see an NFL slate. And most of these guys are really fans of the game, serious fans of the game. And they're professionals. They're also interested in what's going on, but they're fans. They grew up as fans and they're paying attention to what's going on. And if you watched the NFL yesterday, as I'm sure 99% of you guys did, hey, there's a lot of teams who aren't what you thought they were, and a lot of teams that are probably a little bit overrated, and the Super Bowl champs are not the team that some people thought they were. I really thought that they were going to be a 8 or 9 win team this year. I talked about that earlier in the podcast, and my money went behind that on the under this year. But anybody, this is anybody's NFL as far as what you can do. And we saw a lot of different things happen yesterday in the league that the Bucks players should have watched that and said, you know what? We can, why not us? Why not us? We're 2-2. We're in a great spot right now. If the playoffs ended started today, which of course they don't, so it's moot. But the Bucks are in playoff position at 2-2. They got a tiebreaker. Of course, the Saints are on top, but still, the bottom line is the Bucks are in a great spot at 2-2, and I think the players realize that. Rock Riley, if you listen to his show on 1040 AM, he talked today because he was out of practice early for that half hour, and Rock's out there a lot. He saw a lot of extra bounce in the guy's steps coming back from the bye week, and that's a good thing. Usually at these underwear football kinds of practices, right after a bye with an extra day of practice or even just during the season, you don't see a lot of that as media just watching the first half an hour. But Rock was impressed, and he's got a pretty high threshold, so that's a good thing. I think the energy around the building, and we got to talk as media to the assistant coaches today. Wonderful new rule put into place that assistant coaches have to be made available throughout the season at certain times monthly. But we got assistant coaches today, and you know, I study these guys for a living. The body language, the attitude, I think there's just a lot of good things going on, a lot of high expectations, and there should be. There should be. I get that Bucks fans are still scarred from years of beatings and what happened in Chicago, but this team is very healthy as teams go across the NFL. There's a lot of talent on this Bucks team. The offense is still number one in the league for yards per game, ranked number one in the league. They're eighth in scoring. It's a team with a lot of good elements. I'm not going to call it a good team yet. I'm not going to call any 2-2 team a good team. But they've got a lot of good elements here, a lot of positivity. And hey, look at the Falcons falling apart at the seams, completely imploding. 1-4, can't stop anybody. They've got nobodies on defense. Their depth has been tested brutally, and it's showing. They couldn't hit Ben Roethlisberger yesterday at all. They had no answer for the Steelers' blitzes. And I'm generalizing here, of course. I'm not going to sit here and break down everything that happened in the Atlanta Steelers game, although I recommend you watch it. If you're feeling a little pessimistic, you might be buoyed by what you saw there. And Green Bay, as an example, look, Green Bay missed a bunch of kicks, lost late. They've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and look at them. Look at their situation. So, you know, the Bucs should feel that they're in a great spot. Green Bay is 2-2-1. Detroit, with that win, goes to 2-3. So I'm optimistic. You're not going to find a lot of pessimism here. And I know a lot of you love the pessimism, and I know a lot of you love JoeBucksFan.com because we're not afraid to call it out. And it doesn't mean I haven't written pessimistic things this week or negative things, but here on the podcast, me as a fan, as somebody talking to you about what I see from the team, I'm not down. I am not down. I think this team should beat the Falcons. I always make a prediction on the podcast. It's fun, and why not? But as nervous as I am about Jameis Winston coming back on Sunday and being a little too hyped up and feeling too much pressure and all the things that Jameis has done before, there's really no reason to think he's lost all this elements of his game or personality that translate to his game. I don't think they've just evaporated. I really don't. But it doesn't mean he can't win. It doesn't mean he can't settle down. And I just think this position for Jameis against a bad defense, against a team that's not going to be, that he doesn't have to be fearful of off the edge, and where he can take what the defense gives him out of the gate and know in his heart and in his mind that there's going to be a lot of opportunity today and he doesn't have to feel a ton of stress. I think it's as good a spot as it could be for Jameis coming back. But the number one thing I think is going to make this game is the Bucs running game. I'm going to predict also that this is the revival of the Bucs running game this week. I think no matter what Dirk Koetter said, and we're going to get into that, no matter what Koetter said today about it's okay to be a pass-first team and that it's okay to, you know, Jay, just take what's coming first, take what the defense gives you. As much as he said that today and really implied that this Bucs team is going to be pass-first from here forward, and that's not a bad thing, I still believe either, you know, Koetter was speaking honestly, but that may not be the game plan this week. You could still be a pass-first team and have a week where you focus on running the football. And I think this is the week that the team really tries to reestablish that running game, more of a power running game against the Falcons, who, while they're missing some of their top dogs, are still a faster defense. I think the Bucs are going to try to run it down their throat and really make a little bit more of a commitment to that early to, one, help Jameis, take the pressure off Jameis, keep their horrible defense off the field, and frankly, they do want to be able to run that football. I think we're going to see that. So I think the Bucs are going to win. I think they're going to win behind their running game. So how about that? I'm opening optimistic. I'm opening positive. I think they're going to win behind the running game. And Atlanta has had crappy seasons under Matt Ryan. He's not some superhero, even though I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. So they've had their share of crap seasons, and it's all fallen apart for them. The Bucs get him at the perfect time. They've played well in Atlanta. They've also had some clunkers in Atlanta, but still, I think this is it. So there you go. A little positivity to open up. And what's also positive is the amazing deals at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, great opportunities, fully transparent pricing on their website at BillCurryFord.com. And just for saying you listen to this podcast or you read Joe Bucks Fan, you'll get an additional $500 off. Just ask for General Manager Sean Sullivan, and he'll take care of you. Simply put, hey, I love Joe Bucks Fan. I'm a stick carrier. Whatever you want to tell him, you'll get that opportunity through this podcast. Also, nationwide warranty, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. That's a great opportunity. Get all the details at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Again, General Manager Sean Sullivan is going to take care of you just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Beautiful showroom, Bill Curry Ford. I know we do have some listeners outside the Tampa Bay area. I want to at least take a minute and say be safe out there with Hurricane Michael coming through. Even in our own area, some of these squalls I've seen in the past where, oh, it's no big deal here, but then all of a sudden you have a 60-mile-an-hour squall going through, and our friends up in Tallahassee, I'm sure many of them will be evacuating to this area for safe travels the next couple of days. So just wanted to throw that out there. And on that front, Discount Garage Doors is one of our sponsors, dgdoors.com. Fixing your garage door can be critical in a storm. It can add to the value of your home. Wonderful new doors at Discount Garage Doors, And of course, they're the home of the same day free service call, where they're going to come out to your place and diagnose any issue you're having with your garage door, and there's no charge whatsoever. And they can usually do it in the same day. Discount Garage Doors, their name says it all. You've got great pricing, competitive pricing. They'll beat competitor pricing. The website, dgdoors.com. The phone number, 1-866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR. You can call anytime. And, you know, a new garage door can add to the value of your home, the curb appeal, but it's a big safety thing too. If you've ever watched these videos online of if a storm comes through, and often it's the garage door that sort of crumbles in half if it's not the right door or a hurricane safe door, and then it goes from there, the roof comes off. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but that's real. I used to be a reporter for the Tampa Tribune covering hurricane issues at times, and I went to a lot of these demonstrations, and you want a good garage door. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Best news of the day at One Buck Palace for me, Jordan Whitehead returning to practice. Yeah, Jordan Whitehead, the safety, the fourth round pick. I just see this guy as a critical piece going forward. I think he's the most confident Bucks rookie. I think he's the most hit the ground running Bucks rookie. They missed him desperately in the last game without Chris Conte. Him getting back here is a big deal. Now, I don't know this for sure, but if there was any sort of issue with him getting back from his hamstring, he would not have practiced today. They would have given him one more day of rest. They would have given him tomorrow's the player's day off, Tuesday, and then they would reevaluate him and see if he could go on Wednesday. So I think it's a great sign that he was pretty much, that he was even back at practice today, because today's sort of a meaningless practice. But we'll see when the injury report comes out exactly where he's at. But that's big, big news, in my opinion. Carlton Davis was not out there, and you know, we'll hope for the best with him. Doesn't mean he won't play. But as far as the Bucks in general, again, I'm keeping an optimistic tone. If they lose to the Falcons, yeah, I'm going to be jumping into the negative bandwagon, because you got to beat the crappy teams. And right now, the Falcons are a crappy team, and you got to win those NFC games. The Bucks lost theirs to the Bears, and you got to keep pace. I mean, where's your bar set? I don't know where exactly where my bar is set. I mean, I think this team can be 9-7. I said that initially. I felt if they got off to a good start and they could overcome some of that early mental weakness and not fall apart, that they could regroup no matter what happened and, you know, grind a season out to a winning season. So that's, I'm still in the exact same boat. But you got to beat the bad teams. And up next, 2 weeks in a row, in my opinion, here are games that they can win. So go out and win them. 4-2. Doesn't mean you can't beat the Panthers on the road or the Bengals on the road in this quarter, but go win the games that you're supposed to win. That's what the good teams do. One thing was kind of neat on Joe Bucks Fan. I love running these confidence polls that we put up, and I put them up for 24 hours, so they're a little more legit than other polls. Sometimes certain websites, they'll leave a poll up for 6 days, and all the different tracking mechanisms that can block people from voting twice, sometimes those are, they get reset depending on the technology you're using. Sometimes people, okay, one guy votes when he's at work and 2 days later he's on your website and he votes at home. And that's the same, that counts as two votes, and that's not fair. So I only put these polls up for 24 hours. There's no scam. You can't vote twice from the same IP address. And they're legitimate, or at least as legitimate as we can make them. And while Dirk Cutter is getting killed by the fans right now, understandably so, Jason Light, in the poll that I did over the weekend, still, for Jason Light, you've got 60% of the fan base behind him. That say they're confident. The number one answer was 34% of fans said they were confident in Light, 18% very confident, 9% totally confident. So that's a great score for a GM with a team that's on a two-game losing streak, whose number 38 overall pick isn't panning out just yet, who's got a 2016 draft that doesn't look too good. So, you know, it says a lot. I think the message is the fans aren't blaming Light for what's gone wrong on the field. You know, he doesn't coach, and I think that's an important thing to recognize, that maybe Jason Light would handle things differently with the coaching staff. It's just not the situation where a light's going to swoop in and fire Mike Smith. It's just not that kind of thing. Light pick Cutter, light's on board. They respect Cutter. The team's 2-2. And I don't think anybody who thinks light is going to order changes on Dirk Cutter's staff, I think you're miscalculating what's going on here with the Bucks as far as the hierarchy. It doesn't mean Cutter's more powerful. I just don't think that would ever happen within the way they do things. But one thing that Cutter said today, he was pressed to clarify a little bit more on the fire, you know, the whole concept of firing Mike Smith and blaming one guy and making changes to a head man on defense. And Cutter threw around this, you know, the same kind of stuff he did before, which was you can't blame one guy, was Cutter's message today. And, you know, pinning it all on one guy would be wrong. We're a team, blah, blah, blah. Well, when I heard that, my first thought was, okay, well then fire two guys. Right? You know, if you feel this secondary coach is a problem, for example, and Mike Smith, get rid of two guys. Change the roles of two guys. I don't understand this whole we can't make a change because we're a team. That doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense, Dirk. I don't know why he just can't say, I have faith in Mike Smith. He is my guy. I have seen nothing internally to think that he can't do it. But Dirk goes on this roundabout stuff like where you can't blame one guy. Well, yeah, sometimes you can. I've certainly worked and played on teams where, yeah, you could point a finger at one guy and you could bench one guy, or you could say, hey, can you please fire this guy or send him to a different department or let your boss know, hey, he's dragging everybody down. That's just the real world. Changes are made all the time. It feels like Dirk Cutter is not necessarily playing in the real world when it comes to his defensive coaching staff. But I think where that stems from is the offseason, right? They came to Dirk and he put a rubber stamp on Mike Smith's staff and said, bring them all back. We're good with that. And then something happened with Jay Hayes. I don't know the truth. I've tried to dig it out. I can tell you there that there's a story there with Jay Hayes that the organization doesn't want out there. I don't know what it is, but it does exist. And he was paid for this season and then let go. And then they brought in Brenson Buckner. How that went down, I don't know. Who wanted who, the pressure, whatever. But something wasn't smooth there. And I think Dirk is just not willing to shake up his staff. He's going down with the ship with Mike Smith. It doesn't mean the Glazers wouldn't step in at some point and say, hey, look, you know, Mike's not going to be back next year. We like you, Dirk. We want you to succeed. We're not bringing Mike back. Get him out of here. Work with what you got. We'll go from there. I still believe that the Glazers might do something like that if the failing continues to be crystal clear on defense and the offense is thriving at the same time. You know, it's a different animal if the Bucks are getting blown out 42-3 every week, 45-10, whatever. But if they're losing 38-35 every week, every other week, whatever, I think that changes the landscape. If the Bucks know that they like what Dirk's doing with the offense, they want to keep that going, but they want to sort of micromanage the defense with the changes. Something to watch going forward, but we're all staying positive. And I'm upbeat that the Bucks came out very well against a bad Bears team with Jay Cutler at the helm a couple of years ago after their bye week and blew them out at home. I mean, maybe Dirk seems to know how to prepare teams well out of a bye. They didn't have one last year. So, hey, just I'm reaching there, but it's not that much of a reach. You know, Dirk Cutter coming into this season was 2-0 in opening day. And look, sure enough, they go out there and they're ready on opening day, despite everybody saying, oh, practices were too soft. And he brought him inside and the mentality was too weak compared to other teams. Hey, he's 3-0 on opening day. So maybe this is a pattern with Dirk after the bye. But I think they're going to come out smoking. I really believe that. And if I had to pick one unit that is going to impress on Sunday for a variety of reasons, one unit, I'm going with the offensive line. Going with the offensive line. I already talked about the running game. I think they're going to win behind the running game. But I think the offensive line is a prideful group. They're extremely healthy. And you got a lot of guys who are playing for an awful lot. And I say that because, look, Benenock knows he's playing for his job. They don't sugarcoat much there. No one's kissing his ass, telling him he's doing well. He's playing for his career. And run blocking is something that's going to bring him more confidence. And you've got Marpet and Smith that are fighting for contracts. And I can promise you that George Warhop is in their ear about just that. Hey, guys, you've got a lot to prove. Your time's running out. This is your time right now. And execute and all that stuff that they would tell guys. But I think there'll be a lot of focus, a lot of attitude on the offensive line. I think these bye weeks help the interior linemen more than anybody else. Hey, something to watch. Another thing to watch. 89 yards. That is all DeSean Jackson has to reach 10,000 in his career. And 10,000 yards as a receiver, that puts him among the all-time greats. I'll pull up the ranking here as we talk. I've mentioned it before, but that's how close he is. So it could be this game, which is pretty darn cool. Jackson right now ranks 49th in the history of football with 9,911 yards. Excuse me, at 10,000 yards would knock him into 47th all time, right behind Shannon Sharp. And if he keeps moving on at this pace this season, heck, he could pass Keyshawn Johnson at 10,571 yards. Keyshawn sits at 39th in history, and he could just move right past him this year. Not a big deal for him to get another 600 yards or so. So exciting stuff for Jackson. I just hope Jameis Winston doesn't press. I mean, the Bucs are well aware of this. Jackson is certainly well aware of this. He talked on this podcast about leaving a legacy in the game and how he doesn't focus on these things, but he knows they're all out there. And you know what? This year, he's proven that his elite speed is there. The proof is in the next generation stats that we've shared on JoeBucksFan.com. Jackson is in the Tariq Hill category of top five speedsters in this league. He's healthy. He's going on turf. And this seems like a perfect opportunity. I just worry about the last time Jameis Winston had a record for his receiver in the balance was week 17 last year. And we saw what happened. He forced the ball, several balls, to Mike Evans. It cost two out of those three interceptions he threw were because he forced them. And he admitted after the game that he wanted to get Mike Evans at 1,000 yards so he could be four consecutive years at 1,000 yards. Now, Evans appreciated it, and it worked out, and they won the game, so happily ever after. But you don't want any reason for Jameis to force anything. So you know what, Jameis, if you're listening, which you're not, come on, D-Jax will get that record this year. Don't worry about it. He'll hit his 10,000 yards. Don't force it. But I think it is going to be critical because this is why they got DeSean Jackson. Explosive plays. This is why they're paying him. I wonder how Monken and Cutter are going to think about sort of forcing the issue to build that early chemistry with Jackson and Jameis. They got so many weapons, it still becomes an issue to figure out Jameis's comfort zone, which is Cameron Brait and Mike Evans with Jackson and all the other targets and options and Godwin and a healthy receiving core for Jameis. It's going to be fun to watch, but Jackson, I'm hoping he has a great year. I'm a fan. I really enjoyed chatting with him one-on-one a handful of times last year. I never really thought he was a diva. I know some people, even Lee at JoeBucksFan.com here, my cohort, think Jackson's effort might have been a little bit off last year. I don't think so. I think it was more on Jameis, but that's, you know, we're never going to know unless we were on the field. But, you know, Jameis did have chemistry with other receivers, so it's not as if he, can't connect with receivers. So maybe some of it was Jackson, but Jackson admits that he can be a little more difficult to connect with, because he has so many different gears and speeds, and it'll be fun to watch this evolve. But what a game this is in Atlanta to, you know, take advantage of opportunities, because the Falcons have been letting guys run wild and open, and there should be plenty of opportunities for that deep ball. The fans are going to go nuts, though. I want the Bucs to win, but if they win and Jameis misses like three out of four deep shots to DeSean Jackson, or really three out of three or two out of two or whatever, it'll be an interesting freak out. But Jackson averages 17.5 yards per reception in his career, which I've mentioned it before, is second all time. Second in the modern era. Devery Henderson of the Saints was more, but when you really look at the greats of the game and the yards per reception and stuff, DeSean Jackson is just the rare guy. He's the only second guy from this era, and there he is, right at 17.5. He's right in there with Mark Duper and all the old names, Otis Taylor, Jack Snow from the 60s and 70s, just, guys who caught maybe 30, 40 deep balls a year. Even Kevin House, Bucks fans will remember him on as a big play wide receiver. He never caught a million balls in a season. He had a couple of big years, but, usually 30, 40 balls a game. But bombs, that was just the era. And, Jackson's ahead of him, and he's caught a lot more passes. So exciting stuff for D-Jax. It's just worth mentioning. He might be a Hall of Famer one day. We've had this discussion with Ira Kaufman. And you know what? If DeSean Jackson can go a few more years, not everybody gets in with those big numbers. But if he can show versatility with the punt return game and maybe knock on wood, get the Bucks into the playoffs or lead a real franchise turnaround, it might be interesting. One thing that Nate Katzer, the special teams coach, mentioned today was DeSean Jackson returning kicks, that he brings so much energy and so much confidence that the whole unit, he seems to pick up the entire unit on the punt returns, that he just is that guy. And even though they didn't score because it was called back against Pittsburgh, that it was really an impact play as far as the unit and what it can do, believing in what it can do. And you wonder, does the defense, I just look at it as a human element sort of thing, does the defense just need that one game or where they put it all together or close to all together and can be springboarded from there? Is it a belief issue with the defense? Is it a confidence issue in any way? I don't know. And you look at it as they shut out the Steelers in the second half and then fell apart against the Bears. But I swear, I know some people probably think this is nuts. I really think that Jordan Whitehead is a tremendous influence on this defense when he's out there, because he plays with such confidence and a fearlessness and a hard-hitting way that this defense just, they need that. They need to feed off that. It used to come more from other guys, but I think in the back line, he is the energy kind of guy. And Justin Evans is a tremendous athlete. He's going to make some plays. I think Whitehead might be a little more technically sound just in his read of the game. Justin Evans is still an extremely young player. I think, is he 22, Justin Evans? So, they're learning and growing back there. But as far as safety goes, I wanted to mention Keith Tandy, because I think there really is a Tandy element to this game coming up. Tandy is on the Falcons, if you didn't realize that. He was just made active, and he did play a very little bit against the Steelers. But Tandy is a guy that the coaching staff would say is a future NFL coach, that he had that mentality. Jameis Winston used to talk about Tandy being the only one who would get there the same time he did in the morning. And not that getting in early to work makes you a smart guy, but Tandy knows the Bucs defense inside and out. And anybody will tell you who's been in that situation, if you go to a new team and they're playing against your old team, they're going to grill you for everything you know. And the point here is that Tandy is somebody who can really share that information. And I think he's somebody who's going to be very eager. I was told that Dirk Cutter didn't want to lose Keith Tandy. It was a Jason Light decision. Cutter had called Tandy a glue guy and respected his work on special teams. And, just one of those locker room glue guys, good veteran. Cutter didn't want to lose him. Now, in defense of Jason Light, or however you want to look at it, Cutter doesn't want to lose. Most coaches don't want to lose any of their guys, especially the guys who they know are reliable and good locker room influences. So whatever, the point is Tandy didn't want to leave, and he got cut at the end of training camp. It was certainly a bit of a surprise for a lot of people, but, and it, maybe it backfired on the Bucks. right? Maybe it backfired. You could look at it that way. They had to play Isaiah Johnson, a guy who is not very good at safety last week, and that showed. Would Tandy have been a significant upgrade? Maybe. I mean, he has done well in spot duty before when called in as a starter. So, you know, I'm not pinning the season or the game on Keith Tandy, but it's interesting that he's on the Falcons now. And how much information can he give about the Bucs defense? A lot. And especially in a week where maybe Mike Smith is trying to simplify things to spark the team out of the bye, maybe that's not the week where Mike Smith tries to disguise some, get into more disguise or get into more difficult terminology. He's trying to simplify, and Tandy knows what those things are. Now, it doesn't mean Tandy's even going to be on the field, but I really think he can help the Falcons coaching staff more than most players in that situation because he is that coaching mind, that coaching type of brain, and I think he's motivated to extra motivated to beat the Buccaneers. So just a little game within the game thing that may not get noticed or talked about this week, but there's a lot of information there. Tandy's a well-respected guy, and I think I have a lot of faith in my source that told me that Cutter did not want Keith Tandy to leave this team, that it was a Jason Light thing, and, you know, I respect that. Well, the podcast, as I have mentioned before, a lot of people listen on their phones, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, all those apps are great. They're legit. You can leave a review on any of them. I appreciate that, negative or whatever. It's a tough podcast for me to do, mainly because, one, because I'm usually so darn busy with other stuff, but it's just hard to sit here and ramble myself, right? It's not something you normally do. And I've done radio before. Many of you have heard me on many different stations. And when I've done solo shows, you know, you got time clocks and you got the whole kind of thing going on. It's a little bit different to just sit here with the podcast. I can't be as funny as I might be on other venues or with Ira on his podcast, which, you know, is a little more lighthearted. But this is always just my ramble on my mind on the state of the Bucs and things I can throw in that maybe you're not going to hear or see anywhere else. But not a lot of things that I could give you from the locker room today, from the people I told you who talked to people and whatever. It was kind of quiet in there. Lavonne David, you can watch him on Buccaneers.com on the video on their YouTube channel. You know, Levante, you know, look, he cares very deeply. He has been the face of losing of this team in so many ways since 2012. I'm not pinning it on him, but he's dealt with a ton of losing, a ton of bad starts, and he's a grinder, but not much to glean from the Bucs. I'm very curious to see what kind of Jameis sometimes comes out for his news conferences with an approach versus being himself, and some of that has been because of the suspension. Larry, he's always been on guard, and I'm curious to see Wednesday if he comes out, what his attitude is like, and if he's loose. I think he needs to be as loose as he can so this team is as loose as it can be while still focused and sort of maybe take his identity. I think Fitzpatrick with the offense was very loose, you know, very serious game day, but he's a loose guy. He's got a wild sense of humor behind the scenes. I really can't wait to show the video on Joe Bucs Fan of how he roasted Tyrod Taylor. It's out there on YouTube. If you want to do a great job searching and finding it, you still might not find it. But Fitz roasted Tyrod Taylor with a zinger of a one-liner up in Buffalo this offseason, which when the Bucs play the Browns next week, I'll roll that out. It's too bad Baker Mayfield's going to be starting because it would have been quite controversial if Taylor was still out there. But anyway, exciting game coming up this week. Stay optimistic. I think the Bucs are going to win. I think the defense is even going to show up and do some of that bend, don't break kind of stuff. Maybe make a play. I think, look, Brent Grimes has a lot of pride, a lot of prideful guys on this team. I think the bye is going to do them well. I think they'll listen. The feedback that Dirk Cutter looked for from these players, I think they're going to listen. I really do. And I think, at least for week one, and I think most of the players want to be more aggressive. Lavonne David, the pass rush, you know, they're already aggressive on the front four, But I think the guys in the back want to be more aggressive and take some more chances, make some more plays. I think overall you'll see a more aggressive posture on defense from the Bucks from front to back early in the game. Maybe I'm nuts, but I think you're going to see that. And they will be willing to take some chances, maybe some more chances on defense because of the strength of this offense as it should be against the Falcons defense. Hopefully they figure out how to cover Julio Jones. Hopefully they figure out how to cover a three-man bunch formation there of receivers. Atlanta would be crazy not to test them to see if they haven't figured out what they couldn't figure out in Chicago. So hopefully that's been a part of practice this week or will be. And that gets corrected quickly because I have to think Chicago's going for that very, very early. But another thing to watch in the first quarter. All right, Sunday, watch party. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa. The commish, Justin Pulaski, is the ringleader. Bucks Uncensored and Bucks Uncensored podcast host. He is also the leader of the stick carriers. Get out there, 1 o'clock kickoff. Maybe get out there 12:30. I know Justin will be there early. It's so much fun to watch with a bunch of fans. It's not going to be 700 people like the draft party was there. Not going to be total lunacy, but it's going to be a lot of Bucks fans in attendance. It's great to watch the game, talk to people. I look forward to that. Not sitting here talking to myself on a podcast. Much more fun to BS with to talk football like you would in a bar with a friend or text back and forth during a game. That sort of thing is great in person. Buffalo Wild Wings Sunday. The commish will be the ringleader. Great viewing at Buffalo Wild Wings. That's their newer location. It's been there about a year and a quarter or so. Definitely recommend that. I also recommend Discount Garage Doors for all of your garage door repair and new doors. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Free diagnosis, free service call. DGDoors.com. And of course, pre-owned and new vehicles, Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty. You have to check it out on their website. I don't know why anyone would buy anywhere else when you can get that kind of warranty. It's a tremendous option. BillCurryFord.com. Get all the details there. And I thank you for listening to the podcast, for taking it all the way through. It's always fun to do this. I don't go back and listen to it, so I don't really know what it sounds like, but people keep listening. You guys, you made it this far. You're a hardcore. I appreciate it. We will continue to grind away for you at JoeBucksFan.com. More than 34,000 posts. And if you're not watching Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks and Ira Kaufman twice a week on Joe Bucks Fan, you're nuts. It's getting better. The show is getting more intense. Derek Brooks was fantastic on the last episode. Really getting into the Bucks and the bye week and why he's not firing Mike Smith. Not that he was going out there saying Smith is a great coordinator, but a lot of good stuff there. Really proud of what that show's becoming and what it's going to be. And we've got some more things in the on the back burner for video and some things that could be coming down the line, which is always fun. We try to keep things getting better each year on Joe Bucks Fan. I don't know if we have or we haven't. I'd love to just have a better team, but I'll settle for a really good website. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.